Good morning. Hey, that was great. Some churches I go to and I say, good morning, and they go, good morning. That was really great. Great to be with you. If it's not too late, let me take the opportunity to wish you a very happy new year. Oh, thank you. That's even better. You wish me one as well. It is great to be with you. To those of you who noticed, thank you very much. I'm wearing a grey tie because Bristol City drew yesterday. Point away from home is never a bad thing, but it could have been better. It really is great to be with you. Are we getting the reading up on the screen? Thank you. So we're going to have a reading, and then I'll just say a few words, and then I'll explain to you why we're going back to Christmas. I hope you'll forgive me. I know you will. So this is this morning's reading. So Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18. I'm going to read it off the screen, because my Bible may be slightly different to what's on the screen. So here we go. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived of her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the prophet, to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Now, let me explain. I know that the Christmas cards have all been recycled. At least I hope they have. I know that the Christmas wrapping has been recycled. I know that the lights, and actually in Milton Keynes, there are some places where some of the Christmas lights are still up. By the way, greetings from Milton Keynes, okay, and Loughton Baptist Church where I worship. So there are still some places where the lights are still up. I know that you've, by now, taking all your presents to the local charity shop, only joking. I'm actually wearing a pair of socks that my daughter gave me for Christmas. I know it's all come and gone. But over the past month, over the past weeks, there has been one particular aspect of the Christmas story that I've not been able to get away from. And actually, as I couldn't get away from this aspect of the Christmas, this particular aspect of the Christmas story, it began to shape my thinking about New Year. It began to shape my thinking about the 12 months that lie ahead of us. I'm not one for making resolutions because I know that by January the 2nd, they will be broken. However, this particular aspect of the Christmas story began to make me think. It began to make me wonder. It began to shape my thinking about what I want to do, the kind of person I want to be in 2026, the kind of church I want to go to, the kind of churches I'd love to see, the kind of way I'd like to be. And so we're going to go back to it for a bit this morning, and we're going to think about one particular character from the story. As my PowerPoint comes up, would you pray with me, please? Let's pray together. Dear Father God, we are going to look at one particular aspect of the Christmas story. We are going to think about this, and we pray that even though we're going back a few weeks, it will help us to think about all that is to come in 2026, the kind of people we should be, the kind of church we should be, the way you want us to go, the way you want us to live, the direction you want our lives to go in. Bless us, we pray, as we go back to the Christmas story again, one last time, perhaps this year until December. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now the clue's up there on the screen, okay? Because every year when Christmas comes around, I don't know about you, but I always end up feeling sorry for Joseph. Joseph is the guy who is in the shadows. Joseph is the guy who on the Christmas card is always in the silhouette leading the donkey or receiving the gifts from the wise men. Joseph is very, very, very rarely mentioned. And I started to feel sorry for him. In fact, for a number of years, I have felt really sorry that Joseph doesn't get the attention he deserves. Now, that said, the week before Christmas, I was sat in church. It was a Christmas service. I was feeling sorry for Joseph. I was thinking about Joseph. I was putting together some thoughts about Joseph in my head. And my minister stood up and he said, I'm going to preach to you about Joseph today. About stealing your thunder. I went. We have an over 50s party once a month at my church. We do an over 50s afternoon, and we always have a little epilogue. And at the Christmas epilogue, the guy who stood up, a good friend of mine called Alan, stood up and he said, I'm going to talk to you this afternoon. I'm doing the epilogue and I want to talk to you about Josie. Oh, come on, you're all stealing my thunder. I'm supposed to be the one who's to come up with the genius idea of preaching a sermon about Joseph. But I do want to talk about Joseph this morning because it strikes me that he is a remarkable character. In fact, I would go so far as to say that things would not have panned out in the Christmas story the way they did were it not for Joseph. Now, he's an interesting guy. By the time we get to the cross, Joseph is conspicuous by his absence. He's not there. Jesus is hanging on the cross. He's dying. He looks down. He sees his mother. He gives care of his mother to one of his disciples, the disciple we're told whom he loved. Don't ask me what that particularly means. I haven't yet figured it out. I will maybe one day. Jesus says to his beloved disciple, here's my mother. Look after her. We believe that disciple was John. John ends up living in Ephesus, planting churches around the Ephesus area. Possibly there is a tomb in Ephesus dedicated to Mary. That said, there are three tombs in Jerusalem dedicated to Mary, so who knows? But Joseph isn't there. Joseph is conspicuous by his absence. So, a man who was older than Mary, a man who has died by the time of the crucifixion. We don't quite know when, we don't quite know how, but certainly not mentioned much. In fact, in the Christmas story, he's only mentioned six times. He's mentioned again in John chapter 1. He's mentioned again in John chapter 6. There are a couple of references in other Gospels where Jesus goes to Nazareth and they say, isn't this the carpenter's son? But he's not mentioned by name. By the way, if you go to Nazareth, you can go to the Church of the Annunciation where it is believed there's a house that Mary met the angel. You can walk up the road. There's a first century carpenter's shop. It's really quite interesting. The two are very close to each other. But that's it. As far as Joseph is concerned, that's it. And yet, I want to say again, this man is key. This man is vital. If it wasn't for this man, the Christmas story would not have panned out in the way it did. Now, I was curious about this man. Because here is a man who is being asked to be a stepfather, if you like, or actually a father, to the Son of God. Imagine that. Just imagine that for one moment. I'm a dad. Imagine that for one moment. Your child that you are going to be asked to be brought up is the Son of God, and you have that responsibility. It's really quite interesting if you go back into the Old Testament and if you study Jewish law, there are certain rules and regulations for fathers. The last one made me laugh. I'll share it with you in a minute. But here are some of the rules and regulations that Jewish law lays down for a good dad. Okay? So first of all, a Jewish father must circumcise his son. Well, we know that Joseph did that. He and Mary went to the temple in Jerusalem about a week after Jesus was born. Jesus was circumcised. So Joseph fulfills that obligation. He must teach him the Torah. Did you know that by the time a Jewish boy was 12 years old, he had to have memorized Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy by heart? Wow. Right? When I was at Bible college, we studied the book of Ephesians. We had an exam. I tried learning the book of Ephesians, six chapters by heart. I failed. By the time they're 12 years old, they've got to learn Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. A Jewish father must teach his son the law. Must find him a wife. Well, okay, we'll leave that one, all right, in Jesus' case. Teach him a trade. Well, that's good, isn't it? Joseph was a carpenter. Joseph was a builder. So I assume he taught Jesus. We assume that during the 30 years that we know nothing about Jesus' life, from the age of 12 onwards, we know nothing about Jesus' life up until about the age of 30. We assume he was working as a carpenter. We assume he was working with Joseph. This last one really did make me laugh. There are lots of other rules and regulations about Jewish fathers, but this last one made me laugh because one of the rules, one of the regulations, one of the things a Jewish father must do is teach his child how to swim. It did strike me, if your son can walk on water, that's not really necessary, is it? But you must teach your child how to swim. So here's Joseph, this amazing guy, this righteous guy, we just read the passage, a righteous man, a holy man, a descendant of King David, someone who comes from the town of Bethlehem, being asked to be a good father to the Son of God. What a guy. What an opportunity. What a crazy thing to be happening. I think Joseph was a man that God could use. And that's what I want to take in to the new year. That's what I took away from this past Christmas. That's what I took away, and that's what I took with me on New Year's Eve and into New Year's Day. Here's Joseph, a man that we don't often talk about, a man we don't know a great deal about, and yet clearly a man God could use. That became my New Year's resolution. Dear God, in 2026, please turn me into somebody you can use. And if you haven't yet made a resolution, if you haven't really yet given much thought to the coming 12 months, I want to encourage you to take that and run with it. Dear God, in 2026, make me a man, make me a woman, make me a young person, make me an older person that you can use. Because really, that's all that God asks of us. That's all that God wants of us. You've got a poster up there that says, one thing I must do. I press towards the goal. One thing. The one thing that God asks of us in 2026 is simply this. Please be people available for me to use you. And it doesn't matter how young you are, and it doesn't matter how old you are. God can use you. We just heard this morning, sadly, of those that are in hospital. Maybe you can even visit them and encourage them and stand by them. God, make me somebody you can use. Maybe you can become, in 2026, more of a person of prayer. The church needs more prayer. The church needs prayer warriors. I used to work in Romania. And in Romania, there's a very large Baptist church in a town called Oradea. There are today over 1,000 people in that church. Revival in that church broke out in the mid-70s. The pastor couldn't understand why suddenly lots of people were starting to come to his church. He discovered that 4 senior ladies, all in their 70s, had started meeting for prayer in the church early every morning. And as a result of the prayers of those 4 senior people, revival broke out. Trace the history of any revival. Be it in Eastern Europe, be it in Wales, be it in the Shetland Islands. It always begins with prayer. So maybe you could be a person God could use by becoming a person of prayer. Maybe you've got practical skills. Maybe you've got practical skills. When I was pastor of a church in Chichester for a little while, every morning I used to walk from my home to the church. Every morning I'd pass a young guy in his garden. He was out doing the gardening. Got talking to him. One morning I got chatting to him. I said, what's on the schedule for today, Chris? He said, oh, I've got to go to court. I've got to go to court. He said, I said, what for? He said, possession of stolen goods. I said, are you guilty? He said, yes. He said, the problem is I don't know how I'm going to get there. I heard myself say, I'll take you. Took Chris to court. He did his time. He got sentenced. But Chris was such a keen gardener, I ended up saying to the folk at the church, let's get Chris to do our gardening. One or two people objected. Can't have Chris, he's a convicted criminal. He can't do the church garden, why not? Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. Chris came to Christ, so did his wife a few weeks later. Be people that you can use. Maybe you can do the church garden. Maybe you can pray, maybe you can do the church garden. Maybe you can help with the singing or the music. Be people that God could use. I would go so far as to say this about Joseph. That the Christmas, Mary was chosen. I've already said the Christmas story panned out in the way it did because Joseph. I believe personally that Mary was chosen because of who she was engaged to. How about that? That's radical, isn't it? Some people tell me it is. Why? The virgin that would give birth had to be engaged, had to be married to somebody from Bethlehem. The virgin that was going to give birth to the Son of God had to be engaged to somebody who was from the line of David. There were other virgins in Nazareth that possibly could have been chosen. And Mary, it turns out, we know from genealogies herself, is from the line of David. But nevertheless, here is Mary chosen because of who she was engaged to. So, my New Year's resolution became, my thought for the new year, my overriding prayer for the new year, became, God, make me a person that you can use. Despite all my faults, despite all my failings, despite my Bristol passion for Bristol City, despite my love for movies. God, make me a person you could use. Maybe that's got to be our prayer for the coming 12 months, whoever we are, whatever age we are. Just make me someone you can use, because I'm available to you. Now, I want to share with you three little things I observed about Joseph. They all begin with the letter C. I promise not to take very long, and you can take them away with you. You're going to get three C's this morning, okay. So, here's the first thing I noticed about Joseph. And they all begin with letter C. Three-point sermon. Joseph, first of all, ready to obey God's call. A man who was ready to obey God's call. Did you notice what we read in the passage? The angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream. He's troubled. He's thinking of divorcing Mary. Somebody else has got his fiancée pregnant. She would have been described in that situation in Nazareth as a whore. That would have been the position Mary would have found herself in. And Joseph thinks, I better divorce her. I can't be married to this woman who's been unfaithful to me already, even before we've got going. No. Joseph, you take Mary as your wife. When he woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him. Not when he woke up, he sat and thought about it and thought, nah, this isn't a good idea. Not when he woke up, he thought, I'm not going to do this. Not when he woke up, he went to see Mary and talked it over. No. When he woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him. Instant obedience to God's will. Instant obedience to God's will. That's what I want for my life for this year, don't you? And when God tells me to give something up, when God tells me to take something on, when God tells me to do something, when God tells me to stop doing something, I'm there. When he woke up, he instantly obeyed God's call. And maybe God is challenging you to be more involved in the church this year. Maybe God is challenging you to pray more. Maybe God is challenging you to provide flowers for the church or whatever it may be. Or just get involved or witness to your neighbours. Or have the non-Christian that you don't really like next door around for a cup of coffee so you can share Jesus with them in the conversation. Maybe God is challenging you about something. Instantly obey. Not, oh Lord, well, I better think about this. I better weigh up the consequences of this. When God called, Joseph acted. When he woke up, instant obedience. He was ready to obey God's call. Secondly, he was a man who was ready to obey the cost. Because boy, was there a cost involved for Joseph. This is one reason why I've come to respect Joseph so much. There was a cost to this man. Not just the cost of being given the responsibility of bringing up the Son of God, but according to Luke, the responsibility, the cost of being amazed at what the future was going to hold. There was a cost involved for Joseph. Think about it for a moment. He ends up spending several years in Egypt. I wonder if he spoke Egyptian. Don't know. He ends up spending several years away from his home. He ends up spending several years out of his country. He becomes a refugee. Somebody asked me recently, were Mary and Joseph and Jesus refugees? The answer is yes. They had to go to Egypt for several years to escape Herod. There's a cost involved for Joseph. A real cost. A cost to his reputation. He's going to marry a woman who's already pregnant. He's risking his reputation. He's risking his livelihood. Would people still employ him if he was willing to marry a woman who's already pregnant? He's risking his family. Would his family shun him because he married a girl who was already pregnant? He's risking his livelihood because he has to leave it behind to go to Egypt for several years. There's a real cost. And sometimes some of us think about the cost of being a Christian. It's a bit high. I'm happy to be a Sunday Christian. Please don't ask me to get involved in the church during the week. Please don't ask me to get involved in all that's going on. Because that would take up my time. And that would take up my energy. And there are maybe other things I want to be doing. There is a cost involved in following Christ. But we have reminded ourselves graphically and vividly this morning of the price Jesus paid for our salvation, right? Sometimes there's a cost. Sometimes there's a cost in getting up half an hour early to spend time praying. Dragging yourself out of bed. Sometimes there's a cost. Joseph was ready to pay the cost. And ready to face the challenge. Matthew again. The Lord spoke to Joseph in a dream. And he woke up and he took Mary and Jesus to Egypt, ready to rise to the challenge. So this year, what is God challenging you about as an individual? You say, I'm getting older, it doesn't matter. What is God challenging you about? More time in prayer? Better quiet times? More time involved in the church? Witnessing to my neighbours? Sharing Jesus with other people? Getting involved where I can? What is God challenging you about for 2026? I want to be someone God can use. I hope you do too. Ready to pay the cost? Ready to obey the call? Ready to face the challenge? I'm going to do something I don't usually do in sermon. This is quite unusual for me, because I'm going to break into a sermon here, into my own sermon. This is a man who was ready to pay the cost, ready to obey the call, ready to meet the challenge. That's what a Christian is. That's what a Christian is. It's all a Christian is. Someone who obeys God, lives for God, does what God tells them to do, and puts God first in all things. Joseph. Some years ago, a man called Michael Card, a gospel singer-songwriter, had the same concern that I did. This guy, Michael Card, who, as I say, was a gospel singer-songwriter, became concerned, like me, that Joseph wasn't getting enough attention. So he decided to write and sing a song about Joseph. Joseph is not mentioned even in many carols, by the way. One version of Silent Night, Mary and Joseph, there's another one, but that's about it. Joseph isn't even mentioned in many carols. So this singer-songwriter decided, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to write a song about Joseph, okay? I want to play you his song, and I want you to look at the lyrics. The lyrics will come up on the screen as he sings it to us. And as you look at these lyrics, there is one particular line, which I will highlight, that I want you to take notice of in particular. It concerns Joseph, but it concerns all of us who are Christians in this room this morning. Have a listen to this. I've highlighted there. Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. Isn't that a great prayer for 2026 for all of us? Simple prayer. Doesn't matter how old or young we are. That's the prayer that I prayed on New Year's Eve, I'll share with you. That's a prayer I'd love every Christian to pray this year. Every church. Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours this year. So here's Joseph, the most important man, conspicuous by his absence at Jesus' death and the cross, but nevertheless a man that God could use, a man who obeyed the call, a man who paid the cost, a man who was ready to face the challenge. And may that be true of all of us. Let's pray together. What's God asking you to do in 2026? Maybe as a more senior member of the church to pray more. Maybe to do some visiting. Maybe to get involved more in the life of the church. Maybe to witness to friends and colleagues and neighbours. What's God asking of you in 2026? God asked an awful lot of Joseph. He really did. But he was a man ready to obey the call, ready to pay the cost, ready to face the challenge. What's God asking of you? I'm not going to pray. I'm just going to say the word amen in a moment.